Wait for it. Not yet. Wait. Almost time. Are you listening? It's mocha latte time.
Got a great circus and coffee loving show coming up this week as we get to sit down with none other than Liliana Escobar, the songstress of the ring in the circus here. And you also have the coffee scene over thousands of miles this week with three towns, as well as a huge announcement about Circus Boy's future travels coming up and an all new Mod Dog hit coming up. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV this week in Durant, Oklahoma. This is my weekly podcast where I drive around the country and I'm on tour with the circus. And that's right, the circus is my day job. But I have a passion for coffee, and so I'm a trumpet player by day and circus coffee drinking motorcycle riding person by night. I work at night, and then I ride around and drink coffee during the day. There we go. Okay, got that straight. So you're here with me as I sit in Durant, Oklahoma, and what a busy 2 weeks it's been. My goodness, I think since the last time I talked with you and you joined me in South Padre Island, that was literally thousands of miles ago. Since South Padre, when I talked to you last, we then went to Fort Smith, Arkansas, which was, I did a 17-hour day, drove 17 hours in one day, I don't know about anybody out there, but that's a record for me. So if you beat that, you've got better driving endurance than I do. That was a long day. We drove up to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and then from there we went to Kearney, Nebraska, which was last week, and now we are in Durant, Oklahoma. So I put some mileage on the Flying Dutchman this week, but it's all good because I was drinking coffee the whole way. I mean, if you're going to drive that far, you got to drink coffee, right? So actually right now I pulled a double shot here at Doppio espresso on the machine, and I'll talk about the beans actually in the coffee scene, but good beans. I had to hone in the grind a little bit to figure out, you know, because each for espresso anyway, each blend of beans from whatever roaster you get it from, if they're consistent in their roasting and their blend, you have to what they call like dial in or hone in your grinder and your tamp on your espresso machine, and that's part of the magic actually that makes good espresso, because you can't do that with a super automatic machine that grinds and tamps for you, because first of all, you know, the grind changes with the weather, you know, with the moisture and the humidity and the pressure, you know, barometer going up and down and such. And you can't do that with the super automatic machine, which is where the barista comes in. But I digress here. I'm not going to talk about baristas. We did that a couple episodes ago and got a lot of good information. But today we're going to get to sit down with none other than the songstress of the ring, Liliana Escobar. She is a friend of mine here on the show, and she's going to join us here in an interview by phone in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to give you a rundown of where we were. As we said, I was in South Padre Island last week, and gave a little blurb about there, a couple coffee shops there. In case, for those of you listening overseas, that's a big... South Padre is pretty much the farthest south on the coast, just about, you can go in Texas. The only town farther there is Brownsville, and then you're in Mexico. And as it happened that week, it was it Semana Santa, I think is how you'd say it. If I said it wrong, you can You can write in or call in and correct me on that. But yeah, Semana Santa, I think, which is the Holy Week, and especially in Mexico, a lot of them have breaks from school and such, and were at South Padre Island on their vacation. So yeah, good stuff. And then in Fort Smith, as I said, we were there. It's Fort Smith is a cool little town. I wouldn't say it's touristy, probably more blue collar type of town. They have a small university there, I believe, and it was an interesting town. Not pretty easy to get around in. You have Rogers Avenue, which is your main street there, and yeah, it was a good town. It kind of came and went. It was we were there pretty quick because I spent most of that my off days in South Padre, so I was only there for a few days, and got to hang out at Fresh Beans, actually, which it was kind of cool. I always call around in the coffee shops to find out the hours, you know, so I don't end up riding around for hours on end on my motorcycle if the place is closed or if it doesn't even exist anymore. So I started calling ahead just to confirm that these, you know, places do indeed exist still, and I got to talk with, I believe his name was Alan, who was the founder of the Fresh Beans Roastery there and cafe in Fort Smith, and we had a nice chat about coffee and the coffee industry, and he hooked me up with Jimmy, I believe, who I went over there and got to talk with Jimmy, and he's the kind of the roast master now in Fresh Beans. And they have a small, I think it was like a Diedrich roaster that they have in-house, and nice little cafe. And I'll talk more about the cafe later, but a lot of good stuff. Got to talk about roasting and how Jimmy got started. He actually got started at Cafe Du Monde down in New Orleans, Louisiana, and got his start down there. And that's kind of where he grew his passion for coffee. So yeah, they're doing really good stuff there at Fresh Beans, and that's in fact where my espresso beans that I'm drinking here today, as I take a sip and make you all jealous, because you should be drinking coffee at least while you're listening to the podcast. That's the least you could do. But I understand if you're driving or maybe you're exercising as you're listening to this, and you know, coffee isn't exactly the exercise drink per se. Coffee's a diuretic, so it makes you lose water, which isn't what you want to do when you're working out. You want to replenish yourself. Anyways, so yeah, this is not a fitness podcast. But Fresh Beans, Fort Smith, Arkansas, good stuff. They have a website, you can go check it out, and they have a nice, I think it was maybe a 2 or 3 station La Marzocco machine, and they have a naked portafilter, or it's also called a bottomless portafilter, and it's nothing bad. Don't worry, it's kid friendly. If you get the chance, Google naked portafilter or bottomless portafilter, and there's a lot of video on like YouTube and stuff, but I won't go into that. Maybe I'll save that for another podcast, because I'm gonna make one myself eventually, because I just actually bought another espresso machine for as a pet project on eBay. I got it dirt cheap. It was it's used, and the portafilter was missing, and didn't have a filter basket, and was a little rusted. And I bought it kind of like 1/8 of the price it would cost brand new, which I thought was a good deal. So I'm going to tear it apart and dissect it piece by piece and clean it up, and maybe put a pit in it and use it for my coffee days for the circus. And you're saying, what's the coffee day? Well, you'll hear in the interview actually coming up. And speaking of the interview, I should get to that, because I've been blabbing long enough now, because it's a good interview and I want to get to it. And after the interview, I will give you the coffee scenes for this week. There's 3 of them, actually. South Padre Island, Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Kearney, Nebraska. And yeah, so without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy the interview.
Hey, I'm here with Liliana Escobar, who is our ring mistress and singer for the show. And welcome to the podcast, Lily.
Hello, DJ. Happy to be here.
Good, good, good. So she's joining us, in case you haven't noticed, over phone today. And she's, I don't know, I guess you would say joining us from afar, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're down in Dallas. Did you try any coffee down there yet?
I did. How was it?
Yeah.
Well, because I tried just the coffee in my hotel room. It's been terrible, but I'm hopeful the experience will change today.
Okay, well, that's good. So, give everyone an idea kind of your background in coming to the show, because I know before this you had literally traveled, you know, all over the world, but your home country is Mexico, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Is it, you grew up most of your life in Mexico? Is it?
I did first, and most of my education is from there. I went to college there, and I spent most of my professional career there, and I miss it very much, I must say.
Did you, at what age did you start drinking coffee then? Was it there, or I remember you said you were overseas for a couple years growing up with your family in Europe. Was that when you started drinking coffee, or when was it there?
You know, I must have been about 15, 16 years old, and when I didn't have to do it behind my mother's back. And I think I wasn't one of those students when that is scared that coffee will keep you awake while you're having your finals, but later in college there was a lot of coffee drinking.
And was it good coffee in your opinion, or was it kind of like the Folgers, you know, instant stuff, or?
It must have been that. I remember being about 20 years old and having sort of a big test in a couple of days, and coming around the table, about 10 students, 12 students studying, everybody at the same time, and having jars and jars of coffee. And I mean jars. And that's when you discover that a very loaded coffee with a lot of sugar will take you a long way.
That's interesting. Now, in Mexico, like, I know I was only over there briefly the other week, and I was talking a little bit on the podcast about how I didn't really get a feel, because obviously that's a border town, when I was there in, what was it, not Nuevo Laredo, I can't think of the name now, across from Hidalgo there, in Reynosa, that's what it was.
Reynosa, yes.
And I remember you telling me that the border towns aren't really typical Mexico. They're border towns. So what if I would travel farther into Mexico? What would I find as far as coffee? Do they have coffee shops? You know, like I think of them here, or is it a totally different concept? Something more like in Puerto Rico, where you have the cafe olé and that those type of drinks, or?
Well, Mexico is a great producer of coffee beans, and I must say they have a very good coffee in the south of Mexico. So if you're looking for the perfect cup, you should start south of Mexico City and go to places like Oaxaca, maybe, and of course there we have been lately sort of visited by different chains that you can also find in the U.S., but like Starbucks and Gloria Jean's and all the coffee shops, but those are not traditional, and people are used to going to the very, very traditional old cafeterias in the downtown part of the city, and they will not take let's say a coffee cup that also has a lot of sugar in it, or a lot of candy in it. I mean, most people in Mexico take their coffee very strong and not very sweet. We do appreciate a very good cup of coffee if we have it in front of us. It's nice.
Huh. Now, is espresso pretty popular down there, or is it mainly just brewed coffee? Or I know you mentioned a strong cup of coffee. Which do they favor espresso at all?
We do drink espresso. It's not very popular. I remember when I was about 2021. I used to spend my summers in Europe, and that's when I discovered the true espresso. I think Mexicans mostly favor brewed coffee, and it's been a great tradition to brew your own coffee at home. I think most households are proud of the way they have brewed their own coffee, and it's the first thing you get. when you visit someone, they will offer you a cup.
In a lot of ways, kind of like tea, I guess, you know, in Asia, more Asian cultures, you know, tea is kind of that first thing, you know, that they offer you when you come in the door there. Now, is it, as far as buying coffee, you mentioned they produce a lot of coffee in Mexico. Is that something that you can buy, say, like an open air market, or would it, you know, to find, say, you know, the freshest beans that you can't get anywhere else, or would you buy it, say, at like a grocery type of store? Or?
You can get both, and I think that one of the greatest things about Mexico is that you can still find all those huge, wide open markets, and Saturdays and Sundays, they're just temporary markets that you can find this in major points in the street, and you see it in Mexico City in the middle of the street where nothing much is happening during the week. You will find the street closed and the market in there for the whole Saturday and the whole Sunday, and you can find a very wide selection of Mexican, Colombian coffee. Sometimes there are some Brazilian beans, and you can find them either roasted, or you can even find green beans. There's a lot of people down in Mexico who prefer to roast their own beans.
Huh, so they roast their beans at home then, is that what you're saying?
Yes. I must say there's a certain amount of Mexicans that will not touch roasted beans.
Huh, and where do they roast? Do they do it on the stovetop, or do they actually have a dedicated, like a drum roaster, or how do they go about doing that?
I have this technique in every house. I remember in my aunt's house in Mexico City, something like that is very manual, and they just do it over the oven and very carefully.
Yeah. yeah, because you have to get it pretty hot, I know, to roast the beans. So in a sense, they become their own expert roaster, I guess, over a lifetime, you know. So someone such as, I think, did you say was your mother that would roast over the stovetop?
No, my mother is not a big coffee drinker. My father is, though. And he'll try anything. And I must say, he's not loyal to any brand. He will try anything once. He's always trying to find new flavors. And, I mean, my dad's amazing. He'll try different flavors and not get attached to anything.
That's good. Sounds like my dad, too. So, well, that's very cool. Now, I know that that you and I here on the show, we've tried I guess a couple coffee places. The one I really sticks out in my mind is that place up in where was it, Lake Placid, New York, the right on the lake there.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Just I don't know, just when you have a beautiful scenery in front of you, the coffee tastes there.
it certainly does. And I'm trying to remember what you drank that time. What? Because I was going to ask you what your favorite coffee drink. I think that time you had tried a mocha, just because I was raving about it and talking about it so much. You were saying that you were gonna. You said, "Oh, I should try one." But what if you had your choice? Say, going to the coffee shop, just out of the blue for on leisure. What would be your drink of choice?
Well, that depends. I'm in Ireland in Italy that they're not supposed to drink cappuccino unless it's early in the morning. It's sort of a breakfast drink. I have to say I feel guilty if I order after in the afternoon. So it will be cappuccino in the morning, brewed coffee during the rest of the day. I think it will be espresso if I'm going to sit for a while with somebody and enjoy a very long conversation, and then I'll have time, then I'll ask for an espresso.
Okay.
Sorry, I saved that one for special occasions.
Yeah, you said that's the espresso you say for a special occasion?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what do you think about the Picar coffee? And for those listening who don't know what the Picar is, on the circus we have kind of like a little food stand, I guess you would say, that is run for for the workers and the performers, where they have different food items, sometimes sandwiches, and they also have coffee. But as if you remember those of you listening, the Coffee with the Clowns episode where we sat down with Tom and Mitch, they kind of gave us a frank opinion about the Picar coffee. Would you agree with that, Lily?
Oh God, yes, but you know what? I because it's the only coffee available in every building, and the quality is rather consistent. You get addicted to it. I cannot stop drinking that thing. I can't. There's a very nice moment that I have on my own during the show. I usually have a cup of coffee in my hand for the last, I don't know, 2 months, I think. It's been cold, and sometimes we play these buildings where they have ice on the floor, and they're just covered with a little bit of how do you call it, that fake floor that they have over the
Yeah,
ice.
it's like a, I think it's some kind of plastic composite usually that they put over the, if it's an ice rink type floor, though, and it gets really cold, and it gets really slippery because the condensation, from the warm air up top, condensates on the floor, and it makes it really wet and sometimes slippery for you guys down there on the floor.
Yes, we do a show on that, and it's okay if you've been there a couple hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. When you've been there the whole day long, you need something to help you get through the day. And also to enjoy certain moments backstage that are still very nice. This week, this last week, where were we? In
Fort
Kearney,
Smith?
Nebraska.
Oh, yeah,
No,
Nebraska.
Kearney, Nebraska. Yes. Fort Smith was cool too. But I remember that our elephant playpen was very close to the pie cart. It was like only 3 yards away. So believe me, it's a treat when you have a cup of coffee in your hand and you sit by the elephant and just look at him. During the show, when I'm waiting for my turn to go back to the ring, and I have 4 or 5 minutes to sit with a cup of coffee, this is the longest time that I have to enjoy a cup of coffee in the show. So I take sips of it and I leave it somewhere, and then I come back to it. And I don't know, the thing about the Packard is the conversations are always interesting, and our elephant is just nearby, so it's not like any other thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's kind of interesting, even in our little microcosm of a town that we have in the circus, the kind of community aspect of it, you know, that whole, we almost have almost our little own cafe atmosphere around the pie car, you know. It kind of thrives right there backstage. It's just like, you know, any coffee shop where friends get together and talk about work or, you know, life or whatever. It's kind of the same way at the pie car. Would you agree?
Yes, I don't hear what the clowns say about the coffee. I must say that nobody at the circus drinks water. Nobody drinks water. There's no water cooler. Everybody goes to the coffee pot.
Yeah, I would agree. I wonder, I'll have to ask Patty if the elephant drinks coffee. I never thought about that, but I don't know what it would. I guess an elephant would have to drink quite a bit of coffee to get a caffeine buzz.
Well, he's so big, I don't think a little cup of coffee is going to affect him in any way. I heard a very nice story about one of the elephants in the big show. That sometimes, when he sits down in the morning to read his paper and have his coffee, Nicole is by his side, taking her own cup. And I asked him, why does she do it? Is it for the taste? Is it, well, for an elephant that is 5 tons, a tiny cup of coffee is really not going to affect her diet, because I was so worried about her health, and they told me, Lily, she's 5 tons, come on. But because elephants are not used to drink anything cold or anything hot, I think that the thing that surprises her the most, or the thing that's different for her, is the fact that the coffee is hot.
Probably that, and it has a...
That's sweet for them.
Yeah, and it probably has a stronger taste to them too, you know. Since they usually just drink water, that the coffee would be, you know, it might be a kind of like a thing of emulation between, you know, like animal and trainer. Just like, you know, if you're at your table eating dinner and your dog is sitting there watching you, because you know your dog sees you eating and so he wants to, you know, to join in, and so it might be, you know, it might be kind of that along those same lines too, with the elephant wanting to drink coffee, you know.
I know. One thing that I feel very privileged about is that sometimes in here in the Big Show, we have quiet moments with our animals backstage. And there's this undeniable understanding between the animal and the person, because we care about them so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it will usually be over a cup of coffee. Not for them, but for us.
Yeah, I agree. I was telling Tom actually that I'm working on doing a coffee day for the show, where I'm gonna set up an espresso machine and make up some French press pots and before one of the shows, maybe a couple of the shows, sell some coffee and Mary said that she's all for it. So I don't, if I did a coffee day, would you drink some of my coffee, Lily?
I think everybody would, and yes, we would have to limit the amount of coffee given to the clowns, though. Just, you know what? Okay. 3 cups of caffeine, please no.
Well, I'd have to say this, it would probably be a very quick show that day, right?
It will be very fast. It will be very fast.
Yeah, definitely. Well, good. Now, just quickly, could you tell everyone listening what it is exactly? I kind of introduced you earlier, but I don't think I did a very good job of describing kind of what exactly you do in the show, to give everyone listening kind of someone who just knows that obviously you're in the circus, but you know what your job is in the show.
Well, my job description is so funny. On my contract says I am the vocalist and hostess. That's what I signed to do. And that means that I sort of guide the audience through the show. I make some of the announcements, about half of them, and I get to sing all the songs that we call production numbers, which are the numbers where a whole cast is on the floor and they're dancing, they're doing something special, maybe juggling, maybe at the perch. Everybody's on the floor. We have three numbers like that during the show, and I get to sing them all. For me, it's a very nice moment because I know it's the only time when the whole cast is doing the same thing, because everybody has a knack except me.
Yeah.
It's true. I'm the only person on the circuit without a knack, and I get to be in the whole show. I love it.
Yeah, and you also get to meet quite a few of the people on the floor as well, because I know between acts you're meeting young kids and kind of giving them a little behind the scenes kind of nuggets of it, information about different acts, and kind of what's going on and stuff like that as well, right?
Yeah. Well, because this is a very interactive show, we actually select people from the audience to be with us in the show, and they get to do different things in the ring during several different acts. Now, I love talking to the people before the show, during the pre-show. During the show, if they stop me in the middle of the floor, I will certainly talk to them and spend some time with them. But because some of my peers are working, I try not to do that so much. When I didn't know so much about the circus, I would think it was a big party, and I would talk to everybody on the floor. And I was chatting away during the whole show, and then I realized that what people really want to see, come on, Liliana, is the show. So the only thing I talk about with them while someone else is working is about what's happening on the ring. And I don't let them get distracted with any other thing. The people are there to watch the show, and most times what they want to know is why the performer does this or that. About what's happening, about the actual performance on the ring. And it's so wonderful because most times it's a quiet moment between a family and myself just standing there looking at something amazing that's happening in the ring, the high wire, the flying act. And I explain to them, well, this is going to happen right now, and this is what they do, and this is how much they train, and it's wonderful. I become part of them. I become a part of the audience that is just in awe about, because the things that my colleagues can do are absolutely breathtaking.
And you really, and I was just thinking about this, you really get a perspective of the show that very few of us ever get, because we're usually on the stage, side of things performing, and you actually, like you said, you get to be part of the audience and kind of be part of that that experience from that other side.
Yes, actually, there are only two performers that are allowed on the floor at all times. So just walk around the ring at their own discretion, and at all times. And that would be my co-host John Weiss and myself. Now, John has a different approach to the whole thing. He goes out and plays. And he does his announcements and everything, but most of the time he's playing with the people. And I don't do that at all. No, I don't do that because my take on this thing is that I should be the guy for people to be able to watch the show at all times. I don't like it when they get distracted. Especially because I know that for every act involved in the show, there's so much training behind and there's so much effort and so much danger. I do respect my colleagues so much. I cannot take my eyes off them.
Yeah.
And I try for the audience to do the same, to really become engaged of what's happening in the ring.
Now, was this this tour, I guess this was your first full-blown circus experience, is that correct, on this tour?
Yes. Well, no, actually, I worked with the first edition of the Gold Tour.
Oh, right.
When we took it to Mexico City.
Okay, and Puerto Rico as well, I think, that's where I first met you, I think, in Puerto Rico on that.
Yes, it was lovely, and we went there for 2 weeks. And wow, they have good coffee there.
yeah. Well, there's actually Starbucks in China. When I was in Beijing, I remember when I visited there played with the youth orchestra in college, and we were over there for a couple weeks. And sure enough, there was downtown Beijing. There was a Starbucks there, and everyone was going crazy because, you know, some people. I mean, for me, it excites me when I get to try other, you know, food and coffee and stuff of other cultures. But some people, they get severely homesick for I don't know, anything familiar. And I think we had been there for probably about 2 weeks. And when they saw the Starbucks, you know, something from home that they recognized, they went crazy.
I understand that. I understand that. Because part of my childhood, I spent part of my childhood in Europe. My parents taught me very early on that you shouldn't be your day no matter where you are. It was certainly a very valuable lesson for someone who would grow up and be in the circus. And yes, actually, when I visit something that is very typical of the local culture and different places that we go to, I just feel so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I do see different signs of what's become very familiar to me, the whole Starbucks idea. We have Starbucks in Mexico City. And I will, if I'm there for a week, I will go at least once.
Part of the
trip and part of the whole journey in life is also to enjoy what's different in every day. So I take a very, very distinguished pleasure in visiting a coffee shop and knowing that it's going to be a unique cup of coffee, that I'm not going to drink it again. I actually make a point out about buying beans at a very good coffee shop if I'm going to keep my experience to myself, and I know I'm not going to be able to repeat the coffee at home. I just go there and I sit the experience in and get out.
Yeah, definitely.
The same thing that the road teaches you is how to be on the road.
Yeah.
Every week you have a Sunday, right? And on Sundays, I feel like I have to start moving.
Yeah.
And find the next.
Yeah, that's. I totally agree. It's always a new. The way I look at it is, if there's one town that we're in that I don't like or that I just have a really bad experience in, I always know the next week I'll be somewhere brand new. I can start over again, for good or bad. I mean, that has pluses and minuses, of course, for everybody on the show, you know. So, but in the same sense, though, it's quite an adventure for sure.
Yes, it is an adventure. But like this week, for example, we are in Durant, Oklahoma, and we are parked right next to a casino.
Yes, and a highway.
But a lot of people are going to be relieved to leave on Sunday.
Yeah.
If we're going to have the time of our lives, it's going to be fun, but we cannot stay for too long. We can't. Just can't.
Well, you know what?
Nice people of Duran, and we'll see you again maybe in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I already saw the casino shuttle over here at the circus lot a couple times already, picking people up and dropping people off.
Are you kidding me? No, I'm not surprised. I am still not surprised.
I won't name any names of who's been frequenting the casino, but yeah, no, it's good times. It's good times.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, that's us. That's who we are.
Yep. For better or for worse, we're all a big family, I would have to say.
Yes, we are. Yeah. We are. Most instances, we do care very much about each other, and we watch out for the other. There are only about 4 women traveling alone in the circus. And honestly, in my second year, I must have to say, no, I'm not traveling alone. I'm traveling with a lot of people, and they're my family. But technically, yes, I'm here without close family, but the whole cast and the technicians and the lighting guys, sound guys, the musicians, there's this undeniable bond that helps made this second year so much more enjoyable than the first one. We became family after we got to know each other very well. There was no other choice. And like the family, we know everybody's virtues and flaws, and we accept each other as we are. There, as I tell you, no other way to do this. And it's a good year. It is a good year.
Yeah. It's
I'm looking forward to. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. There's a delay on the phone and the microphone.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to those specialty cups that you're gonna make for us.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to get it together real soon for everybody, and because I don't want to. It's been in the works for a while, but I didn't want to do a coffee day and have it, you know, only be halfway, or you know, not be up to what my standards. But then again, I'm a perfectionist at heart too, so you know, which probably comes from my musician nature, I guess. But it'll be fun in any case. We'll have a good time, and there's nothing like coffee to make your day better, right?
I feel like I need a cup right now.
I wish I could send you one through the phone, but if I could invent that, then I'd be rich. And well, thank you, Lily, for taking the time out to sit down with the Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World podcast, and hope you enjoy Dallas down there and find some good coffee.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see right now. It's morning time. There must be a good cappuccino somewhere in Dallas. I'm going to find it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, have a safe drive back, and enjoy the rest of your day. All right, Lily?
Thank you.
With the coffee scenes for this week and the up and coming events for next week. So, as I said before, I traveled to 3 towns. South Padre Island, where we were last week, but I didn't give you the coffee scene because I hadn't tried any coffee yet. So South Padre Island, Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Kearney, Nebraska. So South Padre Island, there were only 3 places there, and I got to try two of them. And granted, this is a more touristy type of island. So it's usually that's the kind of coffee places that you would expect on the island. So there are 2 places. The first I tried was Dolce Roma Cafe, and it's right there. It's not that big of an island, so it's pretty much just along the strip there where you come across the bridge from Saint Isabel, or yeah, I think that's what it is. Come across the bridge. So the first place, Dolce Roma Cafe, and it's more of a gelato kind of place than a coffee. It's a gelato place that happens to serve espresso. And so I ordered a mocha, and a lot of good seating, air conditioning in there, which is nice. I wrote here, this drink was all over the place, which in a bad way, that is. Served auto to go cup, weak espresso, really loose foam, and average chocolate. Wasn't worth the money, and I wouldn't drink that drink again. So I gave that drink 2.3 beans. The next place was Yummy's Coffee Shop. And it's also right there, right next to the visitors center, actually. And Yummy's Coffee Shop, it's kind of a nice place, quaint, kind of a quaint little feel. I can definitely see people who would go, you know, on the island for vacation, staying in the hotels, kind of going there to get their morning coffee, and they have a fairly decent menu. You can get food and, you know, breakfast burritos and all the good stuff. So, it, nice place to sit down, you know, kind of wood tables and chairs, and kind of more of a country kind of feel, I would say, than an island or a metro kind of feel. So, as far as the drink, I wrote here, it was, well, served out of to-go cup, fairly loose foam, average chocolate taste. They asked on whipped cream, but espresso was weak, probably old beans, I would guess. And I could taste, I could take it or leave it, really, is what I wrote here. So 3.4 beans on that drink. And that about wraps it up for South Padre Island. And as always, I try to get the reviews and a little picture up there, and the address and the phone number. If you go to bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. And if you go there, you can check that out. Next up is Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I stopped at. No, wait. I'm going to go to Fort Smith. Sorry. Skipping towns here. Fort Smith, Arkansas. Fresh Beans Coffee, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast. And nice cafe. They have two or three computers there that you can use for the internet. They actually had one of the, it's Nintendo Wii's, where for, you know, just anyone, you know, just hang out and play the Nintendo Wii on there. And so very good stuff, very much catering to that kind of local, as they call it, third place, you know, local place to hang out with friends. So very cool there. And kind of, I wouldn't say upscale, but it's definitely new, with a new feel and modern design. And so very inviting. I wrote for the drink, Jimmy the Head Roaster Barista made a great drink. I wrote a velvety, smooth, and tasty espresso out of the La Marzocco they had. Good milk taste, and Da Vinci chocolate was the only thing. I think they could have been better. I'm not a big fan of Da Vinci chocolate. Also would be in-house cup could have been better. Yeah, so that but still, the drink was very good. I gave it 4.6 beans on that one. Fresh Beans Coffee. Next, in Fort Smith, was Sweet Bay Coffee Company. Now, this is a chain that they have around the Fort Smith. They have two or three of them, I believe. And it's a good feel. They have a good menu selection. You walk in, and it's kind of the cliche coffee shop, cafe type of feel, and they have like outdoor seating as well for when it's warmer. As far as the drink, their machine was a super automatic, and I wrote here, way too sweet, pulled on a super automatic. Yep, way too much chocolate served auto to go cup, auto whipped cream. Could hardly taste the espresso, and did I mention it was too sweet? So it was just. Yeah, it was just sweet to the point where it was hard to drink, which is not a good thing. So I gave them 3.1 beans. But then again, they are called Sweet Bay Coffee Company, so I guess you could say they live up to their name. There's one more shop that I didn't get to try called Sacred Grounds Coffee, which I will try the next time I'm anywhere near Fort Smith, Arkansas. It just didn't work out with the schedule to get over there with that. They don't have weekend hours, I don't believe, because since they're downtown, they cater to the business crowd. So, all right, moving on. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I stopped in Tulsa over Easter, and Nordagio's Coffee. Now, you know what? I'm going to leave Nordagio's till next week, because I'm going to be in Tulsa tomorrow, and I'm gonna do all the coffee shops in Tulsa if at all possible, and So I'll leave Nordagios till next week because I'm gonna give them another chance on the mocha latte there. So all right, so I'm gonna skip straight over to Kearney, Nebraska. It's Pane Bello, the beautiful bread. This place was kind of a, I would look at it, if you know Panera's, it's kind of like a Panera's knockoff with worse coffee and better food. This is the best way I could put it. Panera's knockoff. But the coffee, they serve Seattle's best, which if you remember from Louisville, was Louisville's worst. So I've never had a good mocha latte using Seattle's best beans. So served auto to go cup with auto whipped cream, serving Seattle's best espresso. The espresso taste was close to terrible, with some milk and blood chocolate. Not that great of a drink. 2.7 beans on that. Next up is Barista's Daily Grind. Now, I was excited about this place because there's a website called espressomap.com. That I'm not sure the gentleman's name that maintains it, but he does a very good job of kind of what he sees as the top coffee shops in the country that either he's tried personally or other have like competition winning baristas. So this place was listed. I always check on there before I go to a town to see if I should get excited or not going to the town, and Barista's Daily Grind was on his list, so I was excited to try this. It's a very kind of cool, I don't know how you'd say it, like Alpine cottage meets Midwestern country kind of feel with the decor. But it was very, very nice people behind the counter there, and they also have some food, good soups, and I tried the mocha latte, and I had high hopes there, and they also roast their own beans. I think it's Black Sheep Coffee Roasters they go by there in Kearney. So served auto-to-go cup, auto-whipped cream, everything was pretty average overall, all around. Not all that remarkable espresso, unfortunately. Average chocolate, okay milk. A bit on the sweet side overall, so I gave them 3.4 beans. So I was a little disappointed there. It was more of a sweet kind of drink rather than kind of higher class mocha latte in that sense. Last but not least is Salina, Kansas, and I stopped there on my drive down to Durant here. And tried two coffee places on the way through, because, hey, I can't pass up coffee places, right? So, two places. Coffee Club, it's kind of in a little business mall area there, and very nice. The lady who owns it is usually the one you'll find behind the counter, and homemade pastries, and just very inviting atmosphere, free Wi-Fi, nothing fancy, but definitely a comfortable, kind of just comfortable hangout kind of atmosphere there in the place. Now, the drink, the mocha latte I wrote here, the balance was okay in this drink, but I thought the chocolate tasted a little cheap to me, maybe Hershey's. And the espresso was much too bitter. They asked on the whipped cream, foam was a little loose, slightly lower than average. This drink was so 2.9 beans. The other place was Oasis Coffee and Tea, which is soon to be Mocha's. They're gonna, I think, they're remodeling as I speak, and they're gonna change the name to Mocha's. So the place was kind of a little bit in limbo. I think they're kind of giving the whole place a facelift, basically. Kind of had that southwestern feel from looking at the outside, and I think they're going to try to make it more of the, I don't know, I hate to say it again, but the cliche kind of coffee shop feel inside. So the drink, the overly sweet drink with no foam and a weak to non-existent espresso taste. They asked on whipped cream, served auto to go cup, closer to chocolate milk, I would say, than a mocha latte. So I give that drink 3.1 beans. So that wraps up the coffee scene for this week. So those three towns, and coming up next week, coming attractions. These you guys have to get ready for next week's show, because I'm really excited about this. Coming up this week, I haven't done the interview yet, but we're going to get to sit down and meet a woman who creates art with espresso. Now, I'm not kidding. She literally takes a cup of espresso and creates art. And not only is it art, it's duplicate of masterpieces, you know, like Van Gogh, Matisse, Renoir, Da Vinci. But all of the masterpieces she recreates have coffee in them. So not only are they painted by coffee, but for example, she has the Mona Lisa, and of course Mona Lisa, you know, with that timeless expression on her face, and the Mona Lisa is holding, it looks like, a latte with a nice little rosetta. I think that's genius. I think that's brilliant. So you're going to get to meet her next week, and how she got started, and what she does, and you know, what inspires her. So I'm really excited about that. So that's next week. And while I'm up there in Tulsa, I'm going to check out the Tulsa coffee scene. There's about four or five, doing some research today, four or five coffee shops. So we're going to get that, as well as a motorcycle update. I'm getting new pipes for the bike. So, you know, I haven't talked too much about my motorcycle on this podcast, but I'm definitely going to give her a little, yes, she does have a name, it is a her, it's a Jessomina is what I call it. So, yeah, she has, you know, it's my motorcycle, so she has to have a name. So, yeah, she's getting new pipes, so I'm going to do a quick little blurb about that next week for all you motorcycle fans out there. And also, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, I wanted to thank Blueberry Network for helping to host the podcast. That's BlueBrry.com, and lots of good podcast stuff going on over there at Blueberry Network. And also wanted to give contact info if you want to write in, call in, I don't know, say you hate the podcast, or that you really like you know, saltwater deltas, you know, or, you know, kind of, I don't know, anything like that. If you have something, you know, a pet bird that says mocha latte, that's really cool. And write in and tell me. Or you can write in at bestmochalatte@gmail.com. Or you can call in on the comment line, which is 206-202-5127. And if you do call in, which I hope you do, I mean, make sure you give your name and where you're from, and yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great to hear from you on there. So that about wraps up the podcast for this week. We have an all new Mod Dog exclusive. Oh, and before next week also coming attractions, I have a big announcement. Circus Boy has a few weeks off coming up in May, and I will be taking a trip over water, over a body of water, to visit, I would say, one of the, how do you say, it's not a mecca of coffee, but it's definitely one of the sought-after origins of coffee in the world. And this origin actually is a fairly expensive coffee to buy if you buy it in the market. So I'm going to leave you hanging till next week. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I'll give you a clue. It's over a body of water, and it's a specific origin. And I'm really excited, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week, and kind of give you a little bit my itinerary and what you have to look forward to in May next week. So, yes, on to my dog. New hit this week. We call it, it was Easter a little while ago, I guess, and he calls this one Bunny Chill. So until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.